Hey!
This is JJ and Alex.
I made a name for myself. I told you I won't be denied.
As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Shut it down, everybody. Shut it down.
With the first pick in the KSL Sports Draft,
JJ and Alex selects Stevenson Sylvester.
Hey, Sly, you are a number one pick, buddy.
Hey, I'm doing my touchdown dance right now.
Listen, he's fresh off of a 17-pound burrito.
Hey, man, I was trying to tell you. I didn't want to make you guys relapse, so I didn't bring it in here, okay?
You know we've been talking sports, but that's actually the only thing I've been thinking about. No, JJ and I are trying to watch our figure over here.
I'm so hungry.
I understand. I'm sitting there telling Alex, I don't want to tell you about what I just ate, and Alex is like, what'd you eat?
Yeah, but
what'd
you like, slow it down. When you're describing it, slow it down.
Did you order cheese on it? Did you have cheese on it?
Was there guacamole?
I'm getting sweaty. Oh, my God.
I really like guacamole.
3 hours until the NFL draft kicks off officially, and we're of course going to carry you through the vast majority of that with tons of coverage. Sly in studio the next couple days as we get ready for the local names that are going to be called, all of the amazing coverage across the board. My favorite thing is just to watch the analysts who will put their neck on the line or
to
the
say
guy,
whatever.
At this point, the rumors are hilarious, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we're trying to figure out what's true and what's not. We're trying to figure out what GMs are trying to string some people along and who's not. It doesn't matter what the year is. JJ, this is the most, I mean, this is as big of a, oh yeah, that guy's going first than we've ever seen, right? Like Caleb Williams
is a slam dunk first pick in this draft.
Yeah, but I'll convince myself.
Joe Burrow was a pretty first round slam dunk number one overall. But you're right. We don't often have drafts where it's so concrete. And I think we already know who number two is as well with Jaden Daniels. What we don't know is will the Patriots keep that number three pick?
Or trade down.
Or will they trade down? And if they do trade down, what is that team that's trying to jump up there?
Who is that?
To get number three, and do they want a quarterback? That's where the drama begins.
Oh,
the drama
goodness.
Begins at number three, and that could be a lot of drama, and that could set off a chain reaction of events of different trades from different teams trying to get the guy they want, because at that point, there's still a ton of talent in this draft. There's tons of quarterbacks still available that are believed to be good. Some people don't think they're as good. We'll get to that later in the show, but that's where the draft really starts as number three, I think.
So you just believe that the true value in this draft is not the quarterback room?
No.
Oh, we're learning more and more. Listen,
no.
This is why I can convince myself.
This is a great draft.
This is a great QB draft, too.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
I can convince myself, looking at that list of guys, and it doesn't matter what happens every year, I can get this in my head. I'm like, I don't think you should take Caleb Williams. No, don't take any of these guys. I will convince myself every year that there's a reason not to take these guys, but that's why we have to watch and see what happens. If I was a GM in the league, all I would do just to save my job is I would just draft left tackles. That's all I would be like.
So you're the Steelers.
I'm the Steelers.
It's worked for the Steelers. They win, win, win.
Come on, just give me a left tackle.
Black and yellow.
Give me a left tackle. Give me the highest rated tight end, and I'll hide behind those picks forever, just so I don't have to take a quarterback who's going to flop, because you know out of that group of this year's quarterbacks, we're going to see a flop. We got to kick the show off officially. Our program is brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients and no preservatives make the G2G Bar perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. We've got tons to talk about when it comes to the NFL draft. We've got tons to talk about also. Some movement in the transfer portal. Yes, BYU adding a quarterback. Hold on. Checks notes. 19 now on the roster for BYU. Is that the right number?
I still have some eligibility. Well, maybe I should call A-Rod.
You got it. Listen, you're too tall.
I'm too fat and old.
There is now a conversation that is getting quite awkward down in Provo with this quarterback room. But you know what? May the best man win. I think that's probably what they're going to go with. Let's kick things off, though, as we always do with the cut. We'll jump in right here at the top of the program.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And the cut brought to you by Trajan Wealth, T-R-A-J-A-N Wealth. That's TrajanWealth.com for all of your retirement needs. Okay, let's kick things off officially with the locals, the guys who we might see their names. Is there a possibility that there's a first rounder in there that sneaks in from either BYU or Utah? I know we talked about who may sneak in. Obviously, Kingsley Sumataia's name comes up quite a bit. People say, yeah, more of a second, maybe third round guy. But you do. Every draft expert we've had on seems to say, yeah, but he could sneak in the first round. Maybe that happens, maybe not. Do you see somebody like an even Cole Bishop that might be projected as a second or third round guy sneak into some team, some GM falls in love with him? Do we have a first rounder here locally at all?
No.
There you go.
We don't.
I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, everybody.
We're still building up, you know, the fervor of this Utah community. You know, just being in the league and just hearing how they talk about West Coast football, not just Utah, how they talk about West Coast football. That is a real thing. They're like, West Coast football is not on the same page as a Texas South, East. And I'm just like, I'm standing right here. I come from Vegas. It was weird because it was a conversation. It was actually Ryan Clark and Mike Tomlin. I'm going to throw names out there. We were talking about it. It was a conversation about Weddle. We were about to play was it when he was with the Ravens or Chargers. The Chargers? I think we were about to play the Chargers. And we were talking about Weddle, and he was like, oh, he's a West Coast guy. And I'm like, what do you mean a West Coast guy?
Yeah, what is that?
And so they talked down on West Coast guys. So, squirrel. I think we're still building up this Utah community, right? We had a couple first-round draft picks, Zach Wilson, Devin Lloyd, you know, Dalton Kincaid. But we're still building that up. But I don't see any of these guys dipping down into the draft today.
One of the only guys I can see getting in there today from Utah is Jackson Powers Johnson. And even he's kind of on the fringe, right?
I think he should be.
So here's the thing, though, to watch. And it's funny, like Kingsley's draft range is from late first to fourth. It's crazy, his range. His range is very volatile.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. You'll get a GM that'll just go, fell for it. I got it.
And here's the thing. If there's a run of offensive tackles in this first round, which we believe there will be.
Yeah, you can have that, yeah.
All of a sudden, these teams that have that need late in the first round are like, okay, all our guys are gone. Maybe we got to take Kingsley now because we got to get a tackle in this draft.
Right.
You guys have to have a blindside tackle. They got to have that left offensive tackle to protect their quarterback. It's a high priority, and I think a lot of teams would look at Kingsley as being potentially that guy, or maybe even the right side. They look at his cousin, Penei Sewell, and they're like, is he Penei right now? No, not even close.
Right.
Could he be? Maybe. And that becomes enough.
Right, and if you can get him at the end of a first round,
yes.
Or if you can get him like in the middle of a second round, suddenly you're a genius.
I got him in the middle of a second round.
Right, and so that's where I think a lot of folks have him. I am just blown away, though, by at some point when in this process, and especially for quarterbacks, because now we have this case study of that 2021 class that Zach Wilson came out of, right? Mm-hmm.
Oof.
That four out of the five quarterbacks taking
Buzz your girlfriend.
Speaking of a quarterback heavy draft, five were taken up through 1 through 15. So five were taken and four have already been traded from that first rookie contract deal that they had made. Those are guys who didn't work out. I mean, when they get traded and you get nothing in value for them, that is somebody who doesn't work out. And the only person that did work out so far is Trevor Lawrence, right, down in Jacksonville. So we've chatted about that. Do you think that that's where we're headed, though? Is that what we're looking at in this draft? Or is there someone like now, of course, what do? It used to just be Joe Burrow. You know, at the top where you go, yeah, Joe Burrow, first guy overall. But Trevor Lawrence maybe even yet to be seen, but we see kind of his talent. But is this a draft where you can steal somebody and they become C.J. Stroud, right? C.J. Stroud's the new standard now that we saw him picked and what he did last year. So is there a version of that in this year's draft? Or is it just, you have Caleb Williams and that's going to be the one guy who makes it? Is Drake May, how does he find his way so far up the list? I never understand this with guys that don't do that well on a really, really good team in college. I don't like North Carolina, Mac Brown has not been the promised he's well past his prime. I don't know what they see in guys like Drake May. And so at some point, do GMs just get caught up in what these mock drafts look like too, and they just get in trouble for not making the right pick at some point?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on these guys, and that's why you have so many mistakes. Sly, you've worked in the league. There's many times you told me, like, you couldn't believe this guy got a chance or this guy was doing this or that. There's so much pressure, and you're also, we talked about it before the show, there's a lot of teams that really skimp on scouting, and they don't invest in a lot of this stuff. And
that
so they make
the
lazy,
truth.
Uninformed picks.
That is the
which
truth.
Which should blow everyone's mind.
As much money as they put into research?
Yes.
Yes.
There's such poor talent evaluation with some organizations, and that's why you do see some of these bad picks. It's crazy that in the NFL, with so much money on the line and so much at stake, they could be so bad at this. But you see it every year again and again and again. There's really big whiffs on these first-round guys. Is there a guy in this group that I think could be taken later? I have this thing with Michael Penix Jr. I just love him. And I think if he falls in the second round, he's tremendous second-round value. I think he could be just as good as any of these other guys. And the nice thing about falling to the second round is you can fall right into a great situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of these guys should be put in a situation where everybody expects them to be the man right out of the gate, but that's exactly what's going to happen to Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams did not handle some of the pressure well at USC. He didn't.
Some?
There was some
any pressure.
Odd and immature behavior, I would say.
Yeah.
Not that he's a bad kid. That's not what I'm saying. But the fingernail thing, like, you really need to do that?
I mean, I don't even look at that. That's not even a thing. Kids
Here's
do dumb stuff
okay.
all the time.
Sure.
That's not a thing for
Here's
me.
Here's one that really bothered me. So they lose to Utah last year, and it was an unbelievable game.
Unbelievable game. You got to tip your hat to a good competition.
He didn't.
No.
He sat his butt on the bench, and he walked away.
Towel over the head for a while, right? Looked like a baby over on the
side. He never went on the field and shook hands. Like, that team beat you three times at that point.
Yeah, that's how he's getting ready for the NFL, though, because there's a lot of guys who just walk straight to the locker room, right?
Yeah,
no, they
that.
Don't. No, that's not true. Every game in the NFL, we see the guys walk across the field. The quarterback will meet the
Aaron
quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers, even in a beating,
and the head
coaches rarely
even say anything to each other, but at least they have the gumption up and have the respect and shake their hand.
Look at Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen this year, right? When the first time they met during the season, and Patrick Mahomes is mad because of...
Bad call. He was like, that was a horrible call.
Offsides, offensive offsides, that's how we lose the game? Oh, man. But he said that as he met up with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes was clearly emotionally distraught at that moment, but he still did
that.
So, to JJ's point, yes.
It's like quarterbacks, the multi-million-dollar quarterbacks all have to pat each other on the back and go, hey, we got it pretty nice.
But can Caleb Williams do that?
I don't know.
And that was my topic the other day.
Too much of a competitor.
I don't see Caleb Williams being a guy you can connect with.
Yeah.
I don't.
He does not seem down to earth at all.
His friends.
Right.
And that needs to be a part of your evaluation.
Got some emotional intelligence issues.
Can you lead a football team? Can teams attach themselves to you? Are you that franchise guy? A franchise guy is that. That's Patrick Mahomes. His teammates love him. As cornball as Patrick Mahomes is, he is a very likable guy.
Yeah. He's a nice guy. By all accounts.
I don't see that with Caleb Williams.
I
don't know Caleb either personally, but like...
Does anybody?
But
exactly. Here's the thing about Caleb. There's... You know, I give it to him for understanding his talent and kind of elevating himself. I remember going to Pac-12 Media Day, and it's funny. I had this conversation with Cam Rising, and we're sitting there at the table. He sat down with us. We were just sitting there eating before the thing, and all the team's there. Everybody's there on time. Everybody's ready to go. They're all wearing their team polos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Clark Phillips was there with us as well. And guess who shows up late? And guess who shows up in their suits?
Yeah, not just Caleb Williams. All of USC.
The USC guys.
Right. All of USC.
Walking in like they own the place. Caleb and Lincoln Riley are brand new. They just came here from Oklahoma.
By the way, you remember the setting of it, too?
And they knew exactly what they were. Everybody, you wear polo.
Of course.
It's July in L.A. It was melting. They come in with their suits and their designer glasses, and they just look over and they're just laughing.
Do you remember where we were, too? It was like that. It was a club. That at night it's a bar and a club,
correct?
Right.
Yes.
So they're in the club. They're in the club, and they got all the stuff. Like, they're acting, and you remember too. The PR people walking them around wouldn't allow them to talk to
certain people.
Right. They wouldn't even allow them to look at certain places and whatever. And they had to do their time. Lincoln Riley's historically the worst interview ever.
Oh yeah.
And he's got that kind of an attitude. Just like owning the fact that you aren't very good at this. Go in a little bit of humility, have a conversation. But again, I think that he's been overinflated his entire life, right? And now number one overall.
That's my point.
But see, generational talent, are we still there? I mean, really, that's what we've
pretty
calling
damn,
him.
He's pretty damn good. Look, that's my point, though, is you can be good, but if you can't connect with your dudes, if you can't connect to your old linemen,
you
if you're
inspire,
not down to earth.
You can't inspire your team in the fourth quarter when you're down by five and you need a touchdown.
Why do Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, why are they so loved in Buffalo and in Kansas City? Because they're willing to get their hands dirty, and they'll do anything it takes to win. Like Patrick Mahomes playing last year on one leg, still led him to a Super Bowl. You don't think he earned respect of his teammates?
Oh, yeah. He earned respect of the crowd.
Did he whine and cry about his injury?
No.
What was Caleb Williams doing? If I didn't get my leg hurt, I would have beat Utah.
Didn't even play in the bowl game.
You didn't play. You didn't beat him. He makes excuses when things don't go well. When he loses a big game, he cries and whines and sits on the sideline. That's what bothers me about him. The talent is there. It's the other, that stuff is really does.
Just wants to go cuddle with his dog.
If I'm his teammate, are you with us? Are you in this fight with us? Are you in the trenches with us?
You're going to see him, just like you said at the Utah game, you're going to see him on the bench with a towel over his head, not engaging with anybody. Right. That is not a leader.
Hey, that was his, but that Thank was you. His, what, third loss in a row? That was his third
no,
loss
no,
in a row
no,
to
no,
Utah.
No, that was his first loss.
We got 2022 or 23?
Oh, I was just talking about this last year when
he did it both times. He did it twice.
Right. I'm talking about the first time here in Utah when he's
the 43-42 game.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm just like.
He got out quarterback that game, too. That's part of the other.
And that's what got to him, too. He's. I know he probably won't admit it because, I mean, even at the media days this past year.
Yeah.
Right? His whole demeanor, everybody was talking about his whole demeanor on that stage. I have recorded it on my phone. I'm just like, bro. You're disgusting. Bro, people are trying to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it.
Oh, he's just, I have to be here.
Right.
Just all lazily. And I'm just like.
Well, you know what? Listen, they're taught to act a certain way. You're the number one overall pick. Don't do anything to screw it up. So that might equal just not doing any interviews or not doing them well.
Not doing anything at all.
Do them vanilla.
That's a red flag. It's,
absolutely.
Right?
Here locally. Who's the biggest value? Who's going to return the best value to a team of all the names that we've talked about this week, whether it's Cole Bishop or Jonah Ellis, Sione Vaki, of course. I know you have a soft spot in your heart for Devon Bailey and sneaking him in. But what about, you know, some of these guys that could be an absolute, like if Kingsley does fall to the middle of the second round, is that a little bit more value? When they say fall to the second round, by the way, that's probably a little bit more along the lines. When somebody falls, isn't that kind of where they are drafted? It's just where you're drafted might end up being what your value is if you fall to a certain spot. So who's the best value that you get here locally that a team's going to get a steal on if they pick them on at any portion of the draft?
So that's a two-part question. Is it quick value, like you're going to add value right now, or is it long-term value? Right, that's the question. Long term value, you have to invest in a good offensive lineman. Local guys, Jackson Powers Johnson. Long term, I think he's just going to be awesome. Right.
Yeah.
But as far as Utah BYU is concerned, long term value, it has to be Cole Bishop for me. I think that his versatility is just going to be an absolute monster in the league. Character-wise, you could put him in any situation, and he's going to handle himself like the utmost professional and just be great. He's got a lot of goals that he's trying to aspire to be. He's a guy that you do not have to worry about. That's long-term value right there. Quick value in the first 3 to 4 years, that's going to be an absolute star, Sione Vaki. Sione Vaki, his versatility,
the
offensive
right now
splash.
Value. The right now
the
value.
Right now value is Sione Vaki. You will you know put what? Him in an offense. You will put him in a defense. You put him on special teams. He's a kick returner. He's a punt returner. He's a receiver. He's a running back. And he can play safety. He's the right now value for you. But long term is his health. Can he hold up health-wise long term? So right now, Sione Vaki, long term, Cole Bishop, long term, Jackson Powers Johnson.
Have you seen all these graphics ESPN's been putting up? They're showing right now the history of quarterbacks that have gone 1, 2, and 3 in the first round. The most recent one was Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance going 1, 2, 3 respectively. But they go through, and it's really just it's only happened, you know, a handful of times, but not one of them did 1, 2, and 3 all hit. And in some of them, none of them hit. And in the case of that one, we're still kind of jury's out, right? It's not that Trevor Lawrence is totally turned the corner, but right. I mean, like Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, we might not see those guys really play significant time ever again.
I'm not a BYU guy, but I feel bad for Zach Wilson. The way people are treating Zach Wilson, he's got the whole world talking about him like that. And honestly, tell me what quarterback does well in New York.
No, but Joe Namath. No. In 1960s, and he flamed out in the 70s.
Right?
But
Aaron Rodgers has played, what, less than a quarter, one series?
And that's going to end badly.
There's nobody that does well in New York. People are sitting there berating Zach Wilson, and he's had Nathaniel Hackett as a mentor.
Oh,
yeah, Eli Manning might be the only one that you look at and you go, hey, you know what? That lasted. It lasted a long time. He won multiple Super Bowls.
Giants are a good organization.
Giants are a good organization. But what is Eli Manning's real? He's had a couple playoff successes, and that's it.
True.
And that's all you need.
He just happened to beat Tom Brady in Super Bowls.
That's not a bad way to do it.
Changes your perspective
four
on him, right?
Four games in 1 year. Yeah. You did stellar.
Right. Yep. They were the wild card team
in both of those times. He did four games where he was great. Otherwise, Eli Manning is average to me.
Wow.
I don't disagree with you. His numbers are not great.
No.
He just happened to win two Super Bowls, and it's rare for a quarterback to do that. And to do it who he did it against makes it even bigger, and the circumstances make it even bigger.
Yeah. So
and where he played made it even bigger.
So
in New
who
York.
Does well in New York? Get out of New York. I've been telling JJ just for the last 2 years. Zach Wilson has to get out of New York.
I love how we give him a shot, though, and we go, no, I don't know. Joe Thomas and Robert Saleh, they think different. They do it differently. But the problem is you have Woody Johnson, who just still, as your owner, who
starts
just
at the top,
doesn't really care that much.
Doesn't care.
He likes to get involved
My drug money through the organization. He's mob ties.
Spoiler alert. oh man. Yes, I, you know
quick
what?
Dip into politics there.
Hey,
thanks,
Luck. Hey, my bad.
No, I'm okay.
My
it's bad. Okay. It's a draft day.
Little barb there.
By the way, we've got tons of quarterback talk, and if you did want to know about Zach Wilson, also that we're gonna have a conversation with Andre Mason from our sibling station over in Colorado at Denver Sports to talk a little bit. He did a story on Peyton Manning, who has spoken with Zach Wilson, and we'll kind of see what that conversation looked like and what the excitement level, if any, is there for the arrival of Zach Wilson to Denver. Or is Denver going to take not one? This is my favorite projection that I saw. Not one, but two quarterbacks in the
draft. Why not?
They could all be available.
Hey, hopefully you can find one.
All right. We'll take the break here. Sly joining us all day as we get you ready for your draft coverage. We also have tons to dive into, not just on the quarterback aspect of it. We're going to also kind of review some of the things that we heard yesterday as the NHL was introduced to Utah officially. I'm still feeling a little bit of that hockey spirit from yesterday on the plaza. It's going to be hard to get rid of. Where were you when? That was the kind of moment we had yesterday, and we'll talk about all of those things and much more. Stay right here, 97.5 EKSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Attrition is always part of the game. So now with the portal, that makes it even harder, but it's what they're allowed to do. So we just got to work with the guys that want to be here. We feel good about the guys that are going to be here and feel good about where we're going to go from there. So I don't know the exact number. I know we have to have four to be able to play. So
Kalani Sitake talking transfer portal, of course, which is exactly what BYU dipped into to be able to pull out McKay Hillstead, the former Sky Ridge High School quarterback, state champ there. He went up to Utah State, had a nice little first year, got injured, came in a pinch, and immediately started to turn heads, but injuries kept him off the field, and Utah State has the same kind of problem I think BYU does, JJ, which is they brought in some other quarterbacks, and then all the other quarterbacks start to look around at the quarterbacks, and they say, who's our quarterback? I'm going to go play quarterback somewhere else. McKay Hillstead hit the transfer portal, and he's now committed to BYU. Cooper Lega from Utah State, also hit the transfer portal. He's yet to name a team, but today officially, McKay Hillstead posting on his social media pages that he is committed to BYU, and he's going to be in that quarterback room with BYU. It seems a little bit crowded at this point, JJ, but what are your – you got to call a game with McKay Hillstead. Was he playing in the game that you called? Was he already injured?
I've called several McKay Hillstead games.
Well, you called the high school game, but I'm saying the Utah State game that you called this year, was he –
He was not. He did not play in that game. He was injured not playing that game. He played earlier in the year, and then he got the concussion against UConn, if I remember correctly, and that was pretty much the end of his season. I think he got back in another game, but he was just not right. That James Madison game is the one you're going to roll the tape on and be like, oh my goodness, like he can do it at this level. I mean, almost 400 yards passing, four touchdowns, almost brought them back to win that game. And James Madison, as we know, was they were a really, really good team. They were a top 25 team last year. I think that McKay Hillstead right now walks in that BYU room and it might be the most talented.
And across he needs the board. A year. Just and what he they needs needed. A year, though.
He could use a year. But
he needs a year to sit down, but they don't have
anybody. They don't have time.
They don't.
And I think, look, I haven't talked to McKay. I haven't talked to anybody yet about this. Oh, there's definitely some desperation down in Provo with the quarterback situation.
He may be
McKay is a Utah County kid, grew up in Springville, went to Sky Ridge High School, and I'm just speculating here. I haven't talked to McKay. I think he was at Utah State, and he had some success before the injury, and I think he was looking at that BYU situation, and he was thinking, I can play there.
I might have a shot at that.
I just proved last year I can play at this level. I can play at BYU. I'm seeing an opportunity there at BYU where he probably dreamed of playing. He didn't get a BYU offer. I'm not aware of him getting a BYU offer.
I don't remember. Justin Smith,
if you're listening, let me know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Actually, I'm looking at it here.
I don't remember a BYU offer.
Wazoo and Utah State, those are his two big, those are his two big offers.
So suddenly that opportunity is there. Whether it's been told it's there or not, he's got to be looking at that situation like, these guys are confident. Like McKay Hillstead didn't get to this level without being confident. He's looking at the situation going, I'm better than those guys. This is my opportunity. I can go to BYU right now. I'm going to compete for that starting job next fall in the Big 12. I can make that leap to Power 5 football. I'm good enough.
He's tough.
I think that's exactly what's happening. We covered his games in high school. Obviously watched last year, but in high school you saw his versatility, his dual threat capability. Mm-hmm. You didn't see him running the ball as much with Utah State last year. Maybe he's looking for that more of that situation, and obviously A-Rod's going to love that. I think he's a good fit at BYU.
Reps are so limited, right? And that's a problem when it comes to fall camp,
especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah,
because you don't get a real look; you get a doctored look.
Yeah, Dustin just told me he did not get an offer from BYU.
No offer from BYU.
He certainly has one now.
Wazoo, and Utah State. He got one from FIU, I think, as well.
Okay.
And Nevada as well. But those were again the biggest names were Utah State and Washington State, and he wanted to go to Utah State. Fine, great, got it. But he ends up going to BYU. 5'10", 185 pounds. He has, obviously, the history that he does, being a 6A state champ and, you know, Sky Ridge. That Sky Ridge team is nothing to mess with. It's one of the best teams that we've seen in a long time.
They took it to Corner Canyon. It had a lot of talent.
That says it right there, right? And that's the guy who was the...
But it ran through McKay Hillstead.
No doubt.
It did.
No doubt.
Yeah. That's a team with Smith Snowden, right? Mm-hmm. And it ran through McKay Hillstead.
Right.
But the reality is... What does BYU have now? They're going to have a rep problem in the fall because they're going to they're telling every one of these guys, hey,
it's your job to lose. You got to get it.
Yeah. So now the reality is what? Gary Bohannon, obviously Jake Retzlaff, Bourget, right, out of Western Michigan, and he's one of the guys that they're actually talking about like had made significant strides to put himself in that conversation.
He wasn't getting those 1 and 2 reps, though, in spring.
Because you can't – there's no room. And then you're going to add McKay Hillstead, who might get those. And we're already hearing a bunch of other names.
Still there?
Yes,
Ryder
he is.
Burton's still there.
Noah Lugo, the freshman still there. That they really like. Yeah.
And by the way,
it's
you're going to get a bunch of years of eligibility out of McKay Hillstead.
Right.
Lugo, Burton, those guys are all hoping to stay there for a long time, and it just mathematically won't work out. I don't know what it's going to look like in that quarterback room in the fall, and it just feels like there's going to be too much and not enough time to really figure out who the guy is. Well, maybe it'll just bear itself out and it'll be obvious when they get to fall camp.
So we watched Jaren Hall at BYU. We watched Zach Wilson even. two dual threat guys. McKay's faster than Jaren.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
McKay can do exactly what Jaren did there.
So A-Rod would love this guy.
He can throw a nice ball. He's faster than Jaren. Like I'm telling you, he fits A-Rod perfectly.
A-Rod's profile?
I'm shocked it fits that offense. Fits what Aaron Roderick wants to do offensively. I am shocked that McKay didn't get an offer from BYU out of high school. I don't know. Mitch Harper could help us with that. He knows the classes. He knows why, all this stuff. They obviously had some fallout. They made some mistakes in quarterback recruiting. They have some holes. But I think they're kind of backfilling now. They're going back in time a little bit and going, say, we should have offered McKay Hilson out of high school.
Everybody,
let's bring him in now.
Just because you missed him the first time, like we were talking about, who didn't go? I think it was BYU. Weren't at somebody's signing day this past year. Was it Roger Saliapunga?
Somebody was
not at somebody's signing day this year.
Yeah.
In their backyard, and we were just like, why? I don't know if it was signing day or whatever. But even when
whenever they got the hat ceremony, basically, wondering why BYU's not a hat on the table.
Yeah, and I'm just like, even if BYU's hat's not on the table, why are you not there? That is not your only shot at that guy. And this is prime example that. It comes back around even more than ever before.
Yep.
These guys can transfer after the first year, after the next year. And if he's the guy you really want, and he's in your backyard or from your backyard, that is a guy that you can invest in, would be great for the community, and great for your brand.
It's a great point. You never stop recruiting now because of the transfer portal.
Never stop recruiting.
He's not here this year. Why not next year?
They'll always put that bug in your ear. Hey, man, I know you're going to Alabama, but you'll always have a place here at
right.
BYU.
What did they say? You talked to players. You talked to coaches. One of their number one fears is just that moment where they walk across the field to shake hands with the other team, and they hug that guy that was there.
Dion with that corner from TCU, right?
Why are you kissing that guy?
I've seen it on high school teams.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into names.
Right.
But we've seen it where to go across the field and shake hands with the guys on the other team because those were their 7-on-7 guys.
I mean, you're not shaking hands with Caleb
Williams. They're not playing 7-on-7 with their high school teammates. They're playing 7-on-7 with the Skyridge kids. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, you know, this stuff's happening. It happens. Kids want to play with the best kids. You want to win. You're a competitor. You want to go play with the best kids. You want to play at the highest level. McKay Hilston wants to play Power 4 football, and now he gets to do it at BYU.
We'll see. I'm interested. Now that quarterback room is crowded down at BYU. It's an interesting concept to think, what are they telling guys like Ryder Burton, guys like Noah Lugo, who we were having this conversation on Monday, and you were like, what's the over-under on how many quarterbacks start for BYU this year? I think we were like set it at 2.5 or 3, and you're like, take the over, because you might see Noah Lugo on the field this season.
Starting or playing?
Playing in a game, getting some significant minutes because of injury or other people not playing well, whatever it might be.
Not they're blowing somebody out or getting blowed out and they get, you know, slop time.
I know BYU wishes that they had that problem. I know that they wish that they had that problem. But that's not the game. I'm talking about guys who they're putting in, like, we got to figure it out.
We don't have another quarterback. You're the guy, yeah.
Retzlaff, Bohannon. Like, when was the last time we even heard anything about Gary Bohannon, right? Like, that's the guy they brought in.
We talked about it before spring started.
Yeah.
And I haven't, other than that, we haven't.
We're kind of hearing that Retzlaff had a slight edge in spring, but that had more to do with knowing the playbook than the actual performance.
Right.
Retzlaff didn't throw any picks in spring, which is a good sign, considering what happened with the last 4 starts he had. So
we heard more about Treyson Bourget than we did about...
Did we hear buzz? Was there like, oh, man, like, so-and-so looks really good? You know... We heard that with Cam when he first got to Utah all the time, right?
Right.
Oh, man, you got to see Cam Rising going to be good. This guy can throw it. You hear that. I mean, Jaren Hall, same thing. Zach Wilson, we all heard the buzz. We're hearing a little bit of that with Isaac Wilson right now, aren't we? He's like, oh, yeah. He's not, you know, he was in high school 3 months ago, but like you could see in the spring game and you saw throughout spring,
right.
Like, there was some really good positive things coming out of camp with Utah.
That's the good buzz you want. Yeah. Then there's the opposite where you don't have. Or they don't like, or names aren't coming up that you were thinking they were supposed to.
Or they give you that,
It's actually been really quite an even battle. And it's like, they do not.
You're lying. Transfer portal next day.
Not just that. Not only, maybe they aren't lying. It's still a bad problem.
Right.
Neither of them have shown out who the guy should be. And and that means right now at BYU, adding quarterbacks, I will tell you, it causes, like, not just for the quarterback room, it causes some real issues inside the locker room overall. How about your wideouts who are going, who's freaking, who am I texting to throw to me during the summer?
The guy
because
they
you'll
want,
find the guy they want. Exactly.
Right?
They
who's
going
to throw the ball
up
to me more is who I'm going to try to partner up with to make them look good in camp.
Here's the hard truth, and I don't think BYU fans want to hear this. Right now, currently, they are dead last in the Big 12 in quarterback ranking as far as you look at the 16 teams. Am I
disagree? They were like,
I'm not just pulling us out of the sky.
But part of it is because they don't have one. No, there's not a.
I don't care what the situation is. That's the bottom line. And if you're going to win in that conference, you got to have a guy.
Yeah.
Even Colorado, who probably will end up 5-7, has an NFL quarterback.
I like
that's how good that league is.
Yeah.
The Big 12 is loaded with quarterbacks.
Look at you guys trying to put Shedeur Sanders the number one overall pick next year already. You're always working. You're always angling to get those quarterbacks in the draft.
If he gets drafted in the, I don't think Shedeur is a first round guy. I think he's
I
worse
can't
than
wait
all
to see
of
Merrill
these,
Hodges.
He's worse than these quarterbacks.
Evaluation of Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur throws the ball, but hey, he does not make great decisions. He's another guy that holds on to the football.
Yes,
I do not think that he's a first round guy, and he's so full of himself.
Oh,
that
I love it.
It. All of that stuff just
I want all
drops.
That's all fun for me to watch. It just makes our jobs more interesting.
Well, yeah,
come
it's
on.
All topic. It's all about storytelling. So
I'm mad BYU doesn't get to play Colorado this year. That's what I'm mad about.
Not till 2028, right?
It's not fun.
Isn't that crazy?
Why would they do that?
Come on, schedule makers. We want Deion and
Deion
Provo.
Deion will be on his third NFL team at that point.
I want Coach Prime and Provo.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got tons still to go. McKay Hillstead officially going to enroll at BYU. Another quarterback in the room there. We're going to come back, have our Would You Rather right around the corner, a draft and or anything else that we want to bring up, edition of Would You Rather. So stay right here with us. Right around the corner, also at 4 o'clock, Andrew Mason going to join us from Denver Sports, our sibling station across the mountains there, to talk a little bit about Zach Wilson. He did a story about Peyton Manning, who spoke with Zach Wilson. I want to know what Peyton had to say to Zach. Stay right here with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
To get your brain churning, as JJ and Alex ask, would you rather...
All right, everybody, welcome back. Would you rather have a seat at the game day table or a seat at the NFL live table? Because they've been toggling between the two today. And obviously, I know, but listen, college game day is like the gold standard, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's it. Tired.
Saban's up on. Saban.
From Cache Valley to
Saban is the new guy. Right? Saban is the new...
He's the rookie.
I wonder
if there's any rookie hazing going on.
Oh,
on this
I
set.
Hope so. I hope they prank
bet
him.
Patrick, man.
Especially with McAfee.
Yeah.
Dude, and Pat McAfee wears...
Is it McAfee or Make?
It's McAfee.
I keep freaking messing that up.
No, he's a punter. That's why.
He's not people.
He's look at the belt buckle he's got on. He's a West Virginia roots, man. Look
he's
at that.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I was thinking about it and I was like, but NFL, that's the top of the food chain when it comes to the top of the food chain
it has to be
on
game
TV
day.
Is that college game day. And I love college football more than I like the NFL. Sorry, everybody.
I love the NFL more than college, and I'd still say game day because it just looks so much dang fun. Like, there's nothing fun about the NFL set, and ESPN's NFL crew is boring.
Yeah, they are. They're searching. They're almost like the undisputed show right now.
It's fine. Come on. Would you rather? Is a part of our program, of course, where we roll out some of the fun hypotheticals that you can go through. Brought to you by America First Credit Union. Get the official debit cards of the University of Utah, the Utah Jazz, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively. America First Credit Union is where you can find it. Okay. Would you rather be a quarterback rookie and play ASAP or sit and learn the craft? But sitting and learning the craft doesn't get you that big first payday, that day one money, or not even day one. Let's go top. Because Zach Wilson, I think that, I mean, it's all prescribed. Jeremy, let's find.
So what you're saying is, would you rather be Zach Wilson or Jordan Love?
Yes. Okay. And that's a lot of sitting around. Being patient is tough. Yeah. It is. So Zach Wilson or Jordan Love? Which one is it?
Jordan Love. Bro, I'm trying to tell you. All right. You don't even really get paid until your second contract anyway. Right? Yeah, these
all the number this, one the, and number two overall guys, they get a good guarantee chunk.
Not what it used to be though, 10 years ago.
They still get other advertising deals, right?
They changed it.
And so like you can still get money, but here's the thing here, folks. Like if you guys wanna like this, you know, A-list, B-list, celebrity-esque, whatever status, it is awesome. You don't pay for anything. You don't pay for food. You don't pay for even your cars. You don't pay for anything. So talking about getting the money right at first, for what? If I can learn and get to my second paycheck where the real money comes in, that's what I want. That's what I need. A quarterback is already slated to be the hero. Why can't I just wait to be a good hero? Plus, all of the scrutiny that you face from starting day one, let me learn the walk around. Let me learn the operations of the team, of the city. Watch somebody else. This is what my pride and joy about being a younger brother is. My older brother made all the mistakes. I just didn't do what he did.
Yeah.
I didn't say I didn't make a mistake, but I just didn't do what he did, and I got away with my mistakes. But he didn't. Same thing as a backup quarterback or not starting your first year. Let me learn from these other yahoos. And I can come in and be better. And that's why I say you have to, like, that's an easy question for me. Starting day one, there's so much pressure on it. You have to be really narcissistic, a.k.a. Caleb Williams, to want to be the day one guy.
So, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
That was the correct answer, by the way.
That's the right answer. I'm saying that my example is more if we didn't know what the outcome was going to be. Like you go to a spot where you're told you got to sit behind this guy for a minute. And because saying, "Hey, would you rather be Jordan Love?" Jordan Love started to turn it on and his career has taken that step forward, and Zach Wilson, we already know what it is. But if you're the guy who says you're going to be the number 2 overall guy, And you don't want to know the signing bonuses, by the way. I don't have this year's. This year's isn't totally set, but I would assume it'd go up a little bit. But here's the official money. You don't even get out of $20 million of a signing bonus until the 6th pick of guaranteed signing bonus money that hits the bank account, right? So $24 million for the first pick, $23.5 million, $22.8 million, $21.9 million, $20.3 million.
That's all slated, right?
Yes. That's all set. Yes. That's all.
There's
signing bonus.
Your agent has to negotiate.
No. Nope.
Right.
The collective bargaining agreement has set what these numbers are going to be. That's wild. It's wild. And if you go, I know, but it's tempting to make sure you get that, because by the time if you're a third round quarterback, that guaranteed signing bonus money now moves you into the $800,000 range.
Bro, the best job in the world is a kicker or a backup quarterback. Backup quarterback.
No doubt.
You can
ask
play
Ty Detmer.
We just talked
Chase
about
Daniel, right? We just bring up Chase Daniel all the time.
NFL Dan Orlovsky.
Orlovsky.
Yes.
8 years in the league. Yeah, whatever it was.
12 years in the league. How many of those were a backup quarterback? And he's famously known for what? The biggest gaffe ever.
Yeah. Well, butt fumbles, number one.
But you're right.
Dan
about
Orlovsky
that.
Stepping out of bounds in the end zone. Probably number two as a quarterback. Yeah.
14 years, 7 teams for Chase Daniel, by the way. $45 million.
Wow.
Chase Daniel definitely
yes.
hit.
That's a great.
He definitely
awesome.
Hit.
Good for him.
He backed up Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, and Alex Smith.
And you know what that guy was? A generational guy, at least for Mizzou, right? When he was there.
Hey, Mizzou, he was a killer.
They were ranked number two in the country. Mizzou was ranked number two in the country.
He was a Heisman candidate.
He was amazing. Southlake Carroll kid. That guy's, speaking of quarterback factories. Anyway, bottom line is the money that is involved there, if you don't know what the outcome is going to be, I'd rather just take the guaranteed money if I don't know what the outcome is going to be.
It's great. Exactly. But there's, and I know we got to get to break, there's a deeper conversation here with this
short
hypothetical.
Money.
Right,
I talk about it all the
time.
And
Sly's really good at this.
Yeah,
how mature are you? How humble are you? How intelligent are you? How patient are you? Because all those qualities is what you really want in a quarterback. And that quarterback that's patient enough to understand that he needs to wait and he needs to earn it is a lot better than the entitled quarterback Caleb Williams that comes in the league thinking he's going to run the show in Chicago.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to have that conversation with Andrew Mason, who covers the Broncos for Denver Sports across the mountains there, our sibling station there. We'll get to him and have that conversation about Zach Wilson coming to town and what that looks like. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.